Welcome back to Extra Innings, and I am honored to bring on my next guest. He has been a retired umpire for 35 years. He was one of the best in the business, and I still think he could still umpire. But let me bring in Ed Montague to the show. How are you doing today, Ed?
Hey, Bill. Thanks for the compliment. Sure, I'm doing great.
I'm glad. Yeah, as your body's falling apart.
Yeah, body's falling apart a little bit, but they keep patching me up, and I'm good.
Yeah. Well, you were a senior umpire for so many years, and a couple things are going on this year, but I want to go into a couple things that I want to progress to, and that is Tommy Lasorda and Frank Robinson both passing away. They were very good managers in their day. Of course, you were umpiring with them, and I would love to hear some of your thoughts about Tommy. Let's start with Tommy Lasorda and how hard he was at umpires and how you got along with him.
I got along great with Tommy. I called him Uncle Tommy. I only threw him out one time.
Wow.
It was over balls and strikes, and I think Bert Hooten was pitching and stuff, and he went to the mound to bait me out there, and he asked me about the pitch. I said, first of all, Tommy, you can't ask on balls and strikes. It's automatic ejection. So I gave him a little heads up, and he called for the next pitcher. And as I'm walking off the mound, he says, my back's to him, he says, well, you missed it. And I said, and you're gone.
And that's enough.
Yeah. But you know what? All those years with Tommy, you know, we got along great. Tommy used to call me over into his office when he had a celebrity like Dean Martin or Sinatra or Rickles, because he knew I loved meeting those people and had fun. And Tommy signed my older son, Eddie. He signed Eddie out of Pepperdine.
Well, you know, when he passed away, they did so many photos, and they showed his office, and I kind of zoomed in, of course, to look at all the pictures, and, man, there were celebrities going through his office in the morning, noon, and night, and some of the pictures were just fabulous, like you said, a Dean Martin, a Frank Sinatra, just some of them. I mean, he was just an honored manager in the Dodgers, and, of course, the ceremony that he had at L.A. when he passed away was unbelievable. I saw so many videos of it. As a person, how did you get along with him?
I really got along great with him, and I looked forward to seeing him as a supervisor in spring training. Every now and then Tommy would show up to the ball game, and he'd always go all the way down to the front row because he liked the fans to acknowledge him, and he waved to him, and then I'd go down and kind of nudge him and bump into him and sit next to him, and he'd always look and take him a second and go, oh, Eddie. And, I really enjoyed Tommy. I would call him on his birthday and stuff. And, so Tommy, I got along great with Tommy. Yeah.
Well, let's go to that fiery manager that I had in the early 80s, and that was Frank Robinson. And, boy, he used to just scream at umpires from the dugout. I mean, he would just be on you all the time. Your thoughts on Frank?
Grumpy Frank. Now, you know what? Frank was the type of, you didn't take any of his lip, and you went back at him. He respected that. And I think the other thing that he left you alone if he saw that you were hustling and just, you know, busting your buttons out there. And, I got along fine with Frank. Most of the guys I got along great with.
You had a good personality, and the thing about it, I was a pitcher. You used to always tell us where the pitch was. Some umpires didn't. Some umpires said, what did I just say, ball or strike? And you'd go, okay, all right, you're not telling me. But you were always that way. And the same thing with our catchers from Brenly to Milt May. You always had good communication, and I think that was the key for any pitcher and catcher. Is that something that you taught other umpires as you got out of the game?
Well, I learned from my dad. My dad played, in the major leagues, played with Cleveland back in the 20s and stuff. And when I first started umpiring, he said, you know, always use their first name when you start off with a conversation. And that kind of settles things. And I was very fiery when I came up. I don't know whether you remember, but short fuse. And I think my first year I had like 18 ejections. The next year was like 15 and went down to about 10 and the 5. They figured I was nuts, so leave them alone. And but then you treated guys like you wanted to be treated. And if I had to get hard nose on them, I would. But if it was a discussion, I was okay with that.
Well, you know, we talk about both of these great managers passing, and a few umpires also passed: Darryl Cousins, Eric Cooper, Chuck Merriweather, and, of course, you and I, Lovely Wire. Your thoughts on these three gentlemen that passed away?
Well, Cooper, I didn't really get to know some of these guys. Now, Darryl was in the American League, and Coop I didn't work with at all because I was retired for 10 years. But Chuck Merriweather, I love Chuck. Brother Chuck, I'd call him. And just such a nice gentleman, one of the nicest guys in the world.
He really was.
He was an ordained minister, and I worked in two World Series with Chuck, and both of with Boston, and then again, let's see, Boston, and again with Boston, and they were both sweet, sweeps. So I said, you could be on my crew anytime.
I went through minor leagues with Chuck. Chuck came through AAA when I was with him, so I knew Chuck back in the day, and he was mild and mannered. You just didn't want to get him upset because he had that little, like you say, that little switch that comes on when you get him upset. He didn't like that, but he was another guy that communicated, and that was my biggest thing with umpires. Just communicate with me, and I'm not even going to show you up ever because you know as well as I do how a pitcher shows you up, you're not going to get many strikes.
No, it might strike a little bit. Of course, you know, back then that's what you did. That's how you policed everybody, and you lived like that. I remember I saw Barry the other day. I went up to Willie's party in his suite for his 90th birthday, and I saw Barry, and one of the guys, Mario, I think Aliotta, asked me if I ever threw Barry out. I said, no, Barry and I got along great. I said only one time that he stepped out of the box and asked me on a pitch, but he held his hand up around his chest, and I said, you want to ask me? Put your hand down.
It's true, too. It's true. And even when catchers talk to umpires, keep your mask straight. I'll talk to you. But once you turn your head and the 30 or 40,000 people see that you're chirping with me, then we're going to get into an argument. There's so many right and wrong ways to do it. And of course, I loved you and I loved Lee Wire. I could go on and on with some of the umpires. And then there were some umpires that just didn't want to talk to you. And it was their way of just telling you, I'm running the show, and you either agree with it or don't. And I think more umpires now, and you're more a testament to it. Do they talk to players more? Do they give a little more communication with them?
You know, I didn't talk a whole lot on the field. I mean, if a guy asked me a question when I was behind the plate, I didn't like to talk at all. I was focusing on the game.
Right.
And a guy like Gary Carter would drive me nuts because Gary never shut up. but a great guy. But I remember hitters stepping out of the box and looking at him. And it's like Gary just would chirp and talk and talk and talk, you know. But communication wise, that was a big thing. You had to communicate.
Like
I said, if a player asked me on something, I would tell him. I think one of the biggest things I had was with Eddie Murray, and Eddie said, why can't you just tell me when you're wrong? I said, why should I tell you when I'm wrong? I know when I'm wrong. I'm not going to admit when I'm wrong. It's a cop-out.
That's right.
Eddie didn't understand that, we never really got along after that.
Well, you umpired for 35 years, and we have a huge celebration coming in with Joe West, as he's going to be the most games umpired. And he is going to be breaking Bill Clem, a Hall of Famer. He was in 5,375 games, and Joe West is at 5,368 games right now. That'll be happening probably next week. This is the numbers through May 13th. Tell me your thoughts about Joe West.
Well, Joe, Joe and I only worked a few games together, but when he first came up and 1976, he came up for a few games, and he worked with Lee Wire, myself, and Dutch, filled in for somebody was hurt, I think maybe Harry Wendelstedt, and Joe was an All-American football player at Elon College.
I was reading that.
Quarterback.
Yeah. And, he was a quarterback, he was a defensive end, I mean, he did both sides, because he was talking about it in an article where he said, I loved football, I could have played football forever.
Yeah, quite the character. I mean, I love being around Joe. We both sing. If you ever want to hire us for one of
Cowboy
your
Joe audience. And Cowboy Ed, is that what I'm going to call you?
Yeah, I play the guitar. Joe can't play the guitar, but I play the guitar. But we get together like that in spring training. We'll go out to a couple of those places and get up on stage and do our deal. But Joe, all the games he worked, and that record will never, ever be touched. Fleming was in second. Heck, the games I work won't be touched anymore because guys aren't working any more than 120 games a year now. They've got 5 weeks off during the season. They got to go 2 weeks in a replay. So,
Yeah, Bruce is 5,163. He passed him, and then Bill Clem's a Hall of Famer. And it's funny because Bill Clem has 277 ejections, and Joe West is at 158. I guess Bill Clem will keep that record, Ed.
Well, I wouldn't bring that up to Joe because he might do that within the next week.
He might catch up.
Well, a couple of things. He's going to break. He'll break it in Chicago at White Sox Park. I said, why couldn't you do it in a National League Park? I
mean, exactly. Well, a couple of things that Joe did, of course, is the stare down with Madison Bumgarner. That was just a classic. And then last year, kicking out the Nationals GM, Mike Rizzo, from screaming at the luxury box with no fans in the stands. They could hear him. And they said had to call security, and then they said, oh, no, he wasn't hollering. He didn't have a mask on, which was totally wrong. But that was pretty intense. I watched that in Washington when that was going down. I don't know if he did it or the home plate umpire did, but he was the senior member, so he ended up kicking him out.
I'm sure it was probably Joe, and that's not Rizzo's first rodeo. He's attacked umpires before verbally, coming up the runways and stuff like that. So,
That was interesting. What about the stare down with Madison? You remember that?
I was there.
I knew you were. That's why I had to bring that up. That was pretty intense.
I was there. I said, and I saw Madison after that, and you know, he's a grumpy guy too. They're both stubborn.
They are.
I said it looked like two mules looking over the fence at each other.
that was so classic. I mean, they were not blinking eyes. And even Buster Posey looked over his shoulder one time. He's like, God, you guys are going to stop or what? You know, it was so funny, but it was a classic Bumgarner, Joe West one-on-one. Listen, we're going to take a quick break here in Extra Innings and bring on Ed Montague for the second half. We'll be right back on 104.5 680 KNBR, the sports leader. Welcome back to Extra Innings. A good friend of mine, Ed Montague, joining me. And, Ed, you know, we talk about umpires and how longevity they have and things like that, but so many injuries, again, are mounting up. The concussions seem to just be coming more and more. Kervin Danley ended up in the last homestand getting hit right in the mask and ended up falling down. It looked like he passed out. Tell me how many of these injuries, especially concussions, are occurring.
Well, you know, we never even knew about concussions till probably Messini. After Messini got hurt real bad, then they started focusing in on all the concussions. And one of my jobs as a supervisor the last 10 years was to help Mark Letant figure out where our guys were standing, whether they were, you know, we had a green zone, which is in the slot, a yellow zone, you're moving toward the middle, and the red zone, which is in harm's way. And standing right directly over the catcher behind the plate. And that's where guys are really getting hit hard. And so, you know, it's just, I was talking to somebody the other day, I was doing rehab for my shoulder. And I still have vertigo from the concussions I've had. And he said, I didn't realize umpires got hit. I said, well, yeah, they do. And when you watch it, and, you know, and I watched them all, like I said, over the last 9-10 years in slow motion and where they were standing. And it looks like a car wreck and just your neck snaps back. And I had to come off the field. I didn't come off the field. In Miami, I worked and got hit early in the game. And I just always saw those little floaters and stars and you never thought much of it. You just shook your head and kept back in there. And, but that was my last game I worked behind the plate. Mark Letant came to my house a couple of weeks later and said, you know what? You want quality of life? You better give it up. And he said that to my wife and stuff. Otherwise, I'd still be working passing
Ed,
Joe.
You never used the hockey style mask. You had the old style mask, right? Did you ever try it?
No, I never tried the hockey mask. I didn't like the looks of it. And I think the main thing for the hockey mask is guys getting hit on a backswing.
Yeah.
I never in my career got hit with a backswing. Mm-hmm. I don't ever remember getting hit with a backswing. I got hit in spring training, and probably the worst one I had was going down to cover a play at third base, and it was Cubs and A's. And Steve Buschel came up throwing. I covered third. We were only working 3 men. And I went down to cover third, called Ron Darling, who was running the pitcher, out at third. And Buschel came up from the side and threw and hit me in the – just missed my temple, hit me in the head. The ball went into the stands, and I went down.
Wow.
Everything went black, and they brought an ambulance on. And but that's only the second time I was ever – left the game.
Yeah, I watched a video with Joe West, the first hitter of the game, with a backswing where the bat hit him right by the ear and really bloodied him very well, and they took him out, and he ended up coming back in the game umpiring third. But you're seeing more bat swings, don't you? You're seeing more of the hitters, and you see catchers getting hit with it more.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Is it different? I guess.
I don't know. I wasn't a good hitter, so I couldn't tell you. But you see more injuries that way, especially on catchers with the backswing. You see them hitting the back of the head, and it's just like a concussion. Those guys get dazed, and you always see them move the jaw to see if that jawbone works. And they always say it rings in your ears. I've talked to Buster several times. He goes, man, the ringing in your ears sometimes, it just continues, and you just can't get it out. And, you know, concussions are huge. I mean, you look at how many catchers. You talked about Mike Matheny. So many catchers are getting hit more and more, and how much can they take? And same thing with umpires. Yeah. I mean, is this something that the umpires in Major League Baseball are concerned about?
They're very concerned, yeah. It's a big thing now with the concussions, and they're watching guys. And the thing is, it's, you know, before we really knew much about them, we would just stay in the game. I mean,
Yeah, the John Wayne umpire you. That's how the John Wayne we used to always, God, nothing shakes you guys up. You guys just put bask on. I'm good. Let's go. I got my clicker. Many things now. And look at how your body is and how many different things. And, you know, Joe West's got to be up there. He's, 68 years old. He's got to be retiring soon to have a quality life also. And it's not now. Yeah. It's like 5-10 years after. And that's, you know, same thing with Kerwin Danley. I mean, I'm looking at these guys. You know, baseball's a long job. Don't forget me. Umpires also. But you got to look at quality life if you retire.
Yeah, yeah. I remember seeing Buster Posey when he was in his third or fourth year young. I was sitting down there right behind the screen, and he got hit so hard, and I said, there's no way, but he stayed in the game. They didn't pull him out. I can't believe he didn't go out of the game. Well, I think they started watching a little closer after that, but I've seen Buster take some pretty good shots, and, he's kind of the same thing. It's going to be very hard to get him out of a ball game.
Well, let's talk a couple of things that are going on in baseball. Of course, the strike zone and how many different looks they have with the pitch, and how umpires are being graded. And most umpires are probably between 95 to 100%. Some of them gone a little lower. But the strike zone is definitely moving. It seems like sometimes it's a little off the edge a little bit more. The height and the distance from the chest to the knees change. Is this something, as a supervisor, you watch over these umpires?
Yeah, every day an umpire, after they work the plate, the next day they get their score, they get the disc. It's called a ZE system. I forgot what the Z stood for, zone something. but they get their scores, and they could critique the pitches and stuff. Like I had an umpire last week I looked at, and he was going off the plate. I think he missed 5 pitches in the game, but they were to a right-handed batter, and it was 2 to 3 inches off the outside of the plate, the first base side. So you look at those, and you just, you know, you critique, and you try to get them to bring it in a little more. Because mm-hmm. Every pitch, like you say, they're averaging 96%.
They
you
are.
Know, and we,
it's very good,
we look
very
at
good
a,
rate.
A bad game, we look, it's like a 93. So, mm-hmm. You know, that we call that a clunker. But, yeah, they're very more aware of the strike zone, and I think it all started with Eric Gregg.
Of course. Eric Gregg, ring him up, baby. He loved it.
back in that playoff game,
yep.
It was Fred McGriff or somebody.
Against the Braves.
Eric sold him. He says, that's my strike zone. I'm thinking, Eric, you don't have a strike zone. I mean, it's not your strike zone. And after that, I think it was Sandy Alderson came in. Was it Sandy that started this Quest Tech and stuff like that? And I think it's a good thing. I think it makes an umpire more aware, and it's much more uniform now, the strike zone.
Do you think it'll come down to the computer strike zone eventually?
Who knows?
Yeah,
what
I know.
I'm seeing now with all the different stuff, you know. You have a robot.
It's going to be hard to hard to change. You know, they're doing it all in the minor leagues, of course, and the different things they're doing, the different rules. One of the biggest things that I've noticed this year is check swings. It seems like there's, now I'm exaggerating, probably 30 a game, it seems like, but it's just so intense on some of these swings. Give me your impression of a check swing, and if you're at first base, what are you looking for?
Well, first off, it's a very tough call. You find a plate, and what they're wanting the umpires to do, and this is when Joe Torre was in there, and Joe wants the home plate umpire, because the coaches want this. The coaches and the managers want them to ask more. That's why you're seeing them ask more. They're going to the first or third base umpire. It's a tough call. It's a tough call from third or first base to make, you know, especially on a bright day and that bat's shiny and stuff like that. So the definition is if he offers at the pitch. And I had one probably, it's already stuck in my mind for so many years. I had a play in New York, and it was Jason Giambi. And I remember the bases were loaded, and I called a check swing on him, 3-2 count. I said, yes, he went. It was a big part of the game, and because he was so strong. But I saw that ball pass the bat. Mm-hmm. And then when I went after the game and looked on replay, you know, he didn't go. And I felt really, really, it still bothers me to this day. Yeah. Jason's such a good guy, and I saw him walking out of Yankee Stadium that day, and he's talking to some people, and he looks over at me, and he goes, hey, Eddie, how you doing? And he just was as nice and polite as could be. Yeah. And, you know, yeah. So,
well, just for fans to understand, Ed, the bat has to cross the front of the plate, correct? As long as the bat is behind the plate, it's not a check swing. But once you go past it, it's a strike. Am I correct in viewing that?
Pretty much. It's like I said, if he offers at the pitch. I mean, if you see, and some are 50-50, I mean, it's very close.
Yeah, they're real, you know, close,
he offers at the pitch. And I don't think you're ever going to win an argument with a manager on that or a coach.
Or even a hitter. A hitter probably more than anybody, because they always think they're checking the swing. They never go for it. And pitchers are just the opposite. Yeah, they did. Check it.
yeah, I saw one a couple days ago, and called him out on, and I looked at it on TV, and
they're so close. Last thing, Ed, I want to talk about replay. Of course, the time consumption on how much time it takes and to get the call correct, and so many bang-bang plays. It's just ridiculous how close these calls are, and umpires are usually right on the call, and sure enough, they change it to make it correct. Are we going to see anything different about how much time it takes for them to review this?
Well, I think they're in New York, and like I said, I've been out of the loop for about a year, so I'm not up to date on everything they're doing. But I know that we have a fellow that runs replay back there, Justin Clem, does a terrific job. And I know the numbers are down as far as how fast they get these. Now, the other day we had one at the ballpark. It went pretty long, 2 minutes and 27 seconds, and that's really way too long. It was, they've gotten the numbers down, and they're very aware of getting it done quickly.
Yeah. So, it's difficult. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, you're looking at fractions of toes hitting bases and balls going into gloves. It's, you know, nobody's going to get them all right, but I think Major League Baseball is on the way of correcting it. And you know what? I tip my hat to umpires, even though I don't like you, Ed. I like you as a person, but I, you know me, I don't, I was a pitcher. I don't like umpires.
I hear you.
That's just me. You know, I'm kidding. But anyway, yeah. Nobody could ever wear the number 11 as you did, Mr. Montague, and you had a successful career in umpiring. I love talking baseball with you. And again, I want to thank you for joining me on Extra Innings today to give us your thoughts on a lot of things, and another well-played umpire game today for you, Ed.
Thank you very much, Billy.
It's always a pleasure. Yeah. I can't wait to see you some down the road. And, hey, be careful, man. Get that body back in shape. You're falling apart. You can't fall apart on me, Ed.
I'm working on it. I'm going to make a comeback.
There you go. Have a good day, Ed. Thank you so much, and we'll talk soon.
All right.
That was the great Ed Montague, 35 years in Major League Baseball umpire, and he's the best at it, and he's still being a supervisor of it, senior supervisor, which is great, and we see him at Oracle Park a lot. All right, we're going to take a quick break on Extra Innings and bring you right back on 104.5 680, the sports leader.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.